You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number three of the Roto Experts in the Morning is here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Third and final hour.
Coming up next, Fantasy Best Friends Poll ever.
Yep.
Forever. Corey Parson, Jake Sealy, Nando DeFito.
I think Nando.
Really?
Making an appearance today.
That's pretty cool. How'd it go yesterday? Nice. Matt Modiga, day two.
Did a good job yesterday. Did everything we set out to do, so felt pretty good about that. Got into some NFBC ADPs. You can listen to this program on demand. Did a little Atlanta Falcons trivia. We had a nice time, you know what I'm saying? Mike Florio chimed in with some, wow. Mike, I just saw an interesting stat. That's crazy.
So now what was the stat?
Mike Evans averaged 2 yards after the catch this season.
That's terrible.
That's horrific.
That's extremely bad.
He's a big dude, though. I could actually see that happening.
Yeah.
Good point. Wow. So, so we did some of that stuff. We did the trivia. So that we had fun. So you can check it out on demand today. Nando will be back, and Jake will get down with us. And look forward to having a good time. I keep looking at this picture of Ashley Dockin on that we have on the screen up here. And Ashley Dockin, I like her.
Sure.
If she ever comes to New York, I'm going to ask her if she wants to go in Buffalo Wild Wings with me.
Okay.
Just me and
she'll
her.
She'll say, sure. You, Nando, you.
I had the craziest thing ever.
Yeah. I said just me and her, Scott.
I had one of the craziest nights with Ashley Dockin.
Really?
Yeah. We went to a Raptors game, and we had really good seats. We were sitting in a row courtside. So we go to the game. Maybe we had a drink or two. I don't remember, but I'm hoping that's the reason. So you go through the scanner, right? And you have to take everything out of your pocket. So I take my car keys out and whatever. And then I fly back home the next day to I don't have my car keys. And then I realize I left them at the damn arena in Toronto.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
Oh, my
right?
God.
Thank God Nancy went back to the arena. They had my keys and then FedExed them to me, and I had to leave my car at the airport an extra day. Imagine leaving your keys in an arena.
I would be freaked out. I would be absolutely freaked out. But, that's crazy. Well, I'm glad you got your keys back. But, yeah, if she comes, if they ever, like, bring her up to New York to do some work, you know, I was like, hey, you want to go to Buffalo
Wild
Wings?
She's a big basketball fan, and she's a two-time Hall of Famer, unlike Scott, only a one-time Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah. What Hall of Fame is she in again?
She's in the Basketball Hall of Famer at a college, and I forget what the other one was. Damn. But she was a college athlete. She was in two Hall of Fames.
Oh, yeah.
So, speaking of Hall of Fame, there's a Hall of Famer that Tony, I know you wanted to ask Scotty about.
Yeah, this is the craziest thing. I was listening to a news report. So, a guy, Michael Waltrip, who's been around forever in NASCAR, is going to race the first race of the year and then retire. Like, what about his team? Like, isn't he letting his team down here? Or why are they putting him in this one race and then he retire? Like, I don't think
because
this happened
Walt,
in sports.
Waltrip,
like you,
Waltrip is a guy that generally only races a few races a year the last few years, and he's considered a restrictor plate guy, and Daytona is his best track, so he wants to go out with that race. Daytona is probably like the one track where you would say pick Michael Waltrip in DraftKings.
So it's a ceremonious thing.
Right. It pretty much is, but it doesn't hurt the team, you know, because somebody else is going to take over the ride.
Would somebody be as good?
Probably better. Waltrip's not too good at this point in his career anymore.
All right.
He was pretty good in the past. Of course, Darrell, you know, was like, you know, the best in the family. I mean, he was Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s like chief rival. Right. Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Never see like Derek Jeter come out opening day and then call it quits.
Yeah, he hits really well on opening day, I heard.
It's like Jeff Gordon officially retired, but still, you know, when they had
still
the Dale
races.
Earnhardt Jr. injury last year, you know, he would still pop in there for some races.
So,
but this is done. This is it for Waltrip.
It reminds me a lot of the Rolling Stones. They retired a few times.
Scotty, let me ask you this. Now I'm going deeper into the draft. Final 10 rounds here, and we'll kind of wrap up Gardner's draft. Just some interesting names that I found, and both of them. Well, we'll start with the first one. Scotty, Orlando Arcia was a former top prospect, probably is a top prospect, we can call him, for Milwaukee. We kind of waited on him for the last couple of years to come up. He came up last year and certainly overshadowed by Jonathan Villar, but Orlando Arcia was the future. Like, they moved, obviously, Villar away from the shortstop position to for Arcia, right? Like, so Orlando Arcia can get the job. On the year, he only batted .219. Average was OBP was .273. He played 55 games. He had 4 home runs and 8 stolen bases. But he was, again, former top prospect in AAA, batted .267. He had 8 home runs, 15 stolen bases. But the year before that, in AA, 25 steals. What do we expect of Orlando Arcia, and can he be a fantasy commodity?
Well, the thing was, we kept hearing people didn't want VR because they were expecting Arcia to actually come up and, you know, steal the job from him. You know, and now VR's entrenched, but, you know, if it's anything like we saw in the minor leagues, you know, it's a good combination of pop and speed. Steve, projections from this year, you know, have him as a 10-homer, 16-stolen-base guy, but only a .246 batting average. He did strike out over 21% of the time. So, you know, I think the kid's still a work in progress.
Tony, is there hope? Do you see hope in the numbers or what you saw out of Orlando Arcia last year in order for him to be, you know, useful this year?
He's going to be nothing but a late-round flyer for me.
Okay.
You look at the strikeout potential, that's not that bad in today's baseball. I mean, we got guys striking out 35, 36% of the time. But you're going to get a low batting average. You'll get some stolen bases. You're going to get, I think, single-digit home runs. So this is a better defensive player than I think that basically than a major league player right now.
Right.
He'll eventually progress into one. He's only 22 years of age. That's the things we forget. But the one parallel I'll give you this is that Francisco Lindor didn't have a lot of power and a lot of offense at the minor league level, and we saw everything that was talked about progress at the major league level. But this kid's young. He's 22 years old.
What we said about Lindor too was that he was born at AAA, right? Like, oh, he knew he was coming to the majors. He just wanted to get past there, and then he kind of exploded here. Could the same be said about Arcia?
He's in a good offensive ballpark. I mean, we're talking about in 2015, he rose up to the AA level at 21 years of age, and he hit .307. So I look at it like that, and I say, hey, you know what? The strikeout totals will come down. He could make contact, but still, it's still a jump from .219 to something respectable from .260. So I probably pass him in around .240, and I worry about the power not being there.
Yeah, the one thing with him, like, you know, he did have some bad luck. That .267 BABIP was, like, you know, kind of ridiculous. So you got to see the batting converter come up. He's not a .220 hitter. I mean, obviously, he's not .285, but he's not .220.
Right. Another guy who is infielder mostly, they played a little outfield last year, and I expected he got hot at one point, and I expected him when some injuries happened to really explode. It didn't happen, but I'm really interested in hearing what you guys will think about him, and that's Jurickson Profar in Texas. Now, a lot of it could depend on if they sign a Mike Napoli or they sign a Chris Carter or something like that, but last year, in really his first extended action in the major leagues, we saw Jurickson Profar have over 300 plate appearances for the first time. Profar hit 5 home runs, stole a couple bases. His average was .239, though. OBP .321, the BABIP a little bit under 300. Tony, I'll start with you here. What do you think of Jurickson Profar here in 2017?
This is a perfect example of a guy that people will give up on, that there's no way all these scouts are wrong. And he's a guy that can get you double-digit home runs, double-digit stolen bases. I think he's still eligible at the middle infield positions.
Right.
And I would love to get late in the route. But like you said, is that it depends on if he's going to have playing time, if he's going to have a path to playing in the field. This is a guy in a great offensive ballpark and a great offensive lineup that you can get late in the draft, your last two picks, and throw on your lineup. I would absolutely take a shot on this guy.
Yeah, I think you got to take a shot on him. Listen, the injuries have been critical in stunning his success. And like Tony said, these scouts are all not wrong. Everything lines up. As soon as he can stay healthy, put it together, get a couple of, you know, at-bats strung together and stuff like that, get in the real groove, he should be a player that can definitely live up to this late-round value. So he's a player that I would be in on. Lottery ticket type guy.
What are you guys expecting in terms of counting numbers, though? Because, you know, we saw, like, in his earlier seasons at, like, AA, he was able to, like, you know, be like a 15-15 kind of guy.
Well, what I'm concerned about, and I wanted to ask you, Scotty, in his only other extended opportunity in the majors, which was in 2013, he had 324 plate appearances. He's still only batted 234, right? So, like, I know he's still growing. I know how young he is. But I need that average to go up, right? It can't be at 240.
I'm worried about what I'm making counting numbers-wise. I see where you can come
in. So you're just going to ignore my question. Just
no,
ask
I'm,
your
saying,
question.
I'm saying, okay. You know, if I think if he's healthy, I think the batting average, you know, is going to come up. I mean, you look at, like, a 291 BABIP last year, you know, I think that's got to come up. You know, he can hit about 265, but what am I getting counting numbers-wise? You know, like, am I getting 10 home runs and 10 stolen bases? How excited am I going to be about that?
You're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the strikeout total tells me that 19%
sure.
is actually pretty good in Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
so
oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a guy that makes contact. He doesn't strike out a lot. I think the batting average comes up, and over if he get an opportunity to play every day, gain a little confidence. We're talking about a guy that I think it hit 250, 260 easily in a jump there. And if he goes higher than that, that would be nice. And as far as Scott with the double-digit numbers, double A, a lot of players go up from double A to the pros. So it's a very indication. A lot of the top prospects play at the double A level. A lot of the triple A's like guys that have hung around at 30 years old, and they're there. Against good competition, he had 14 home runs and 16 stolen bases.
Yeah, that's his point. Dude, yeah.
You don't get in love with any of those individually, but when you have guys that have both, that's a guy you want.
I also think we're going to see the power go up a little bit here because the ISO was under 100, right? Like it was 0.99. Yeah. So like that's going to go up, I think. Yeah. Ground ball percentage last year over 50%. Home run to fly ball ratio was 8%. Like. He's going to hit for more power. I think the question with Jerickson Profar is he going to play every day? Like,
is he going to stay in Texas? Yeah.
That's definitely a question. Is he going to stay in Texas? If he does, is he going to play every day? If he doesn't, what position is he going to play, right? Like, there's a lot of things with Jerickson Profar. And I think for a young player, one of the keys, I'm sure you'll agree with this, Scott, is like finding a position that he's going to know he's going to play every day, whether he slumps or not. He's your starting second baseman, for instance, right? Like, not in this case because Odor's there, but, like, a young guy like that needs to know he's not going to be pulled from the lineup if he goes into a little slump. I think that means a lot to these guys like
this. How much can he embrace versatility if they ask him to do that?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So I think those are my questions when it comes to Jerickson Profar. Scott, you just said during the break, some guy that you're interested in Miami, now he's Dan Straley. We talked a little bit about him last week, and the three of us were not interested. How come you're intrigued by Straley in Miami?
I just like what I saw last year. You know, it was a good pickup. I think, you know, but then again, you know, you look at some of the peripherals, and they might point to regression, but, you know, he is going to, like, you know, a much better pitcher's ballpark. You know, the K per nine really wasn't out of whack with his career mark last year. He had a very high strand rate last year, which I think kind of worries you when you look at the FIP. You know, it looks like Straley's kind of fortunate when you put the advanced peripherals. But, you know, he got the job done last year, and now he's moving to a pitcher's park. You know, and I grabbed him in like the 16th round of a draft and said, you know, I'm going to take a whack here.
Okay, so exactly for the reasons that you said had all the peripherals, you said how lucky he was is the main reason we were not interested in Straley. The last round,
I always felt like he was a talented pitcher early in his career.
I'm with you,
and you know, injuries, et cetera, and like. He's finally started to figure it out last year.
I'm with you. The last round pick for Gardner interests me, I think, guys. Corey, let me go to you here. Chris Tillman, the starting pitcher for the Orioles, who won 16 games last year. He was 16-6. The ERA was 3.77. The K per nine rate, not good, at 7.33. But Chris Tillman, last round flyer, I mean, plays for the Orioles. I know it's not a great park. He can win some games. What do you think, Chris Tillman?
He's a better real-life pitcher than he is a fantasy pitcher.
Okay.
That's basically what his deal is right there. You can't really be comfortable with the ERA going into this season, especially in that ballpark.
Yep.
He kept it under four in the 2016 season, but I think you should expect to see a jump. Probably gets right above four. A solid guy to have on your team professionally, your fantasy team, he's like a, what, an SP6, in and out, in and off your roster, something like that. So no real interest there. I don't see what the real upside is on this pick right here.
I don't think there is upside on him, though, but I think when you're looking at SP5, SP6, you know, he can kind of fit the bill. It's not like he dominates strikeout-wise, but three of the last four seasons, you know, he's had a strand rate above 76%. So he knows how to bear down with guys on base. The FIP was 4.23.
After he puts him on base?
4.23.
Yeah.
So,
you know how stupid that sounds? Like, I get in this argument with people all the time. He bears down when guys are on base, so he doesn't try when nobody's on base?
All right, so, you know, I'm going to bypass you.
We had this conversation last year. He's not calling you stupid.
My point.
No, I'm not stupid. I'm saying no. You're not the only one that makes this argument.
No, I wasn't finished here, though. I'm saying, you know, I kind of agree with Tony, though, in that, you know, he's been fortunate three of the last 4 years, and I know you had that argument with, too. I know exactly where you're going with that, too. This is not something I ordinarily say, but, you know, he's doing something with runners on base. But, look, you look at the previous year.
He's going to church.
He's 11-11, you know, with a 4.99 ERA. But still, I don't think he's quite the pitcher that we saw last year, the year before. He's somewhere in the middle. But I'll still – he comes across as solid enough where I'll take him at the end of my staff.
See, Scott – pointing that out, Scott, is exactly with the difference in the ERA, though, because he got lucky in three of these years with the 80% strand rate, 76, 77, and his ERA was under 4.
Right.
The 1 year that didn't, right, that he didn't bear down on the runners.
He had a 4.99, yeah.
Yeah, and he had a 68% strand rate, right? That's the correlation. This guy is the same pitcher and scares the crap out of me as Marco Estrada. And I forget who the other one is in Toronto. They're both fly ball pitchers, right? And Chris Tillman's a fly ball pitcher. He only had 41% ground ball rate.
In that ballpark, too.
In that ballpark. That's a killer for me. And I have to disregard the ERA, even though it's inviting to have him as my sixth pitcher. I can't put him on my roster.
You know what? I get that deep in a draft, though. And I know where you're coming from. Still, the ERA, three of the last 4 years, it's been good. It's been good, whether he's been lucky or not. You know, it's been good.
I know. I just can't do it.
He's doing something right.
I mean, you look at the projections, right? Like, you've cited the Steamer projections throughout the show, right?
Yeah, the Steamer's 4.64.
What is this, Steamer? I've never heard of this before. What is this, Steamer projections? What's that, Scott?
They're one of the groups that in the industry that people look at projections. There's Steamer rankings that people use, and there's fans, which is a correlation of different sites, and they take the average of them and put them out there.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So is it fair to say, Tony, that you would rather own Jordan Zimmermann than Chris Tillman?
Oh, no, I'd like to own neither of them, but yeah. And the big difference is if Chris Tillman played in Washington, mm-hmm. I probably would get on him.
Okay.
In that ballpark, in the fly balls, in playing in the National League, those are all playing in Detroit now would be the difference there with a bigger ballpark and not the situation involving Baltimore.
Well, that's
was so compelling for so many years because, like, as fantasy analysts, we all talk about how we want the strikeout guys, And for so many years, Zimmermann was able to steer around that and still put up good numbers.
Last year was worse. He had 5.64. So I'm just hoping that's not, like, to me, that's unrosterable. So I'm hoping for a little rebound in the strikeout rate. But if you gave me the choice of those two, I would probably take a shot on Zimmermann.
I was terrified of him going to the American League.
It's funny because you're actually, that's why I liked Zimmermann for years in Washington, National League, the whole thing. He went to Detroit. I wasn't on him last year. Went through some injury issues, and I think I'd rather Zimmermann than Tillman personally, but I don't need either on my team. It's just a waste. It's just a waste for me.
Waste of time. Yeah. I'm looking at the Steamer projections right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay.
No.
You like the name?
Yeah.
You're right. Tony, you nailed it. He just likes the name. Yeah. He's not actually looking at the projections. He just likes the name.
So Tony,
uh-oh.
If we had these kind of projections back in the 80s, and we were looking at the 80s Red Sox relievers, could we have a Stanley Steamer?
Yes.
Bob's dead.
When we come back, that's Steve Gardner's team, guys. Corey, you wanted to bring up before we get into the media, the mass media coverage here of the Super Bowl, you had a question for us.
Yes.
You'll ask it on the other side of the break here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're hanging out. Super Bowl coming up. Do you like this week off, Corey?
Yeah, I'm a fan of the week off.
Me too.
I'm a fan of the week off. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be all rushed.
So I usually think it was like this ridiculous two-week buildup, but I feel like it's just like you kind of rest this week.
Yeah.
Like, there isn't much Super Bowl, like, nonstop at you.
Yeah.
It's like a little break.
Take a little break from it.
And then you build it back up on Monday.
Do a little, you know, whatever you do this week, you know what I mean? Get involved with baseball, Pro Bowl, not really a big deal. You know what I'm saying? The NBA rocking and rolling. A week off from the NFL.
That's cool. Then,
of course, Sunday evening, Monday morning, the teams will land in Houston.
Right.
You see everybody with their, you know, their phones and taking videos and stuff like that. And then the hype and the madness around Super Bowl week kicks off in Houston, Texas. And I think we have an intriguing story developing, and I want to see how it's handled by our New England Patriot quarterback Tom Brady. Because I think the media, if they're responsible in doing their job, they should ask him about his relationship with 45, President Donald Trump. And he has said in the past, it's not a big deal, guys, whatever the case may be, let's move past it, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you're the quarterback of the New England Patriots, you're playing in the Super Bowl, this is a story. I don't think he can just wipe it under the rug.
I think they will.
He can, and he will.
I don't think he gives no answers? No answers?
Yeah, him and Belichick will just sit there.
The fact is...
Thanks. Oh, do like he did this year. Thanks, guys.
The fact is, they asked him last week about it, and he's like, I'm talking about the game. They literally asked him the AFC Championship. They asked him about Donald Trump, and he just said, I'm here to talk about the game, and then he has the Steelers.
Obligation to do that, though?
And then if you ask me again, I get up and leave, and then you have to explain to the 100 other reporters why you asked that question.
Oh, that's crazy. That's a cop-out right
there.
I read a great quote, I do the same thing.
To be honest with you, I read a great quote on this, and it was actually comparing the way Tom Brady has handled the situation, Colin Kaepernick, right? Like, Colin Kaepernick wore like a shirt, like was it a Fidel Castro shirt?
Yeah, Fidel Castro.
When he wore a shirt.
When he went to Miami, they tore him up for that.
But he had to talk about it. He talked about it. And everything he did, his entire stance, he talked about it. He never shied away. He brought this upon himself. Tom Brady brought this upon himself. He wore the Make America Great hat again in the locker room, right? Like, in interviews, right? Like, it came out, he talked to Donald Trump.
He drew
attention
to
him. He brought this on himself.
Hat.
So I think it's a bad job by him. Not a bad look, because it's Brady, he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
But it's a bad job by him getting himself into this. Yeah. It was a media creation.
Exactly.
He got himself into this.
If you don't want people to ask about it, don't wear the hat.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's my thing.
Maybe he enjoys that.
What?
And he knows he can do what he wants. He enjoys the controversy.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right.
And it's correct. Probably, and he probably does. But
sits back and goes,
If I'm New England Patriots PR, I'm like, okay, listen, Tom, let's get it out there right off the rip.
But what do you want him to say?
Huh?
What do you want him to say?
Say something.
What?
Say anything. Feelings, thoughts, suggestions. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about that?
But you're not having a policy conversation.
You're not having a policy conversation, but he brought it. He made it a thing. It's a big news story. It's the Super Bowl. Why should Tom Brady not be asked about his dealings with Donald Trump?
I'm worried about the Falcons more than I'm worried about President Trump.
Correct. There you go.
It's a cop-out.
What do you want him to say?
Yeah, like, it's a cop-out.
What do you want me to ask? Tom Brady, how do you feel about the EPA can't release information anymore? Is that what you want me to ask?
Yeah. Why not?
Tom Brady, how do you feel it's Donald Trump says that 3 million people voted for him and not Hillary?
It's bigger than a sports story. It's a Super Bowl. When he's hoisting on the Lombardi trophy on next Sunday night and smiling and taking questions, then it's not going to be I'm leaving out the room. So come on.
So here's the real answer. Here's the real answer. So you can do what you want with this. Here's the real answer. I played golf with Donald Trump. I've never, ever met any of the other candidates. Yeah. Why wouldn't I vote for him? So what are you going to do with that answer?
Okay, yeah. If that's the case, then come out there.
Corey just wants to hear that answer.
I want to hear an answer from Tom Brady. I want Tom Brady. I want him to not blow it off.
He's a quarterback. If you guys are taking political advice from a quarterback, I don't know what to tell you.
I feel you 100% on that one. You know, taking political advice from a quarterback.
But he's more than a quarterback.
He's a celebrity quarterback.
You talk about that, right? Like taking
advice.
Well,
that's right.
Taking advice from a quarterback or whatever. If Nick Saban came out and said, you need to vote for Hillary Clinton, you don't think all of Alabama would vote for Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
I do.
I don't think so, bro. Yeah. Alabama's rough.
If Nick Saban says it, Nick Saban says, I will guarantee you a national championship if you vote for Hillary.
Wow, that's tough, bro.
Derek Jeter said, I vote for Trump. Corey would vote for Trump.
Calm down, Scott. Calm down.
Wasn't Donald his landlord?
Yeah, absolutely. He lived in a grocery store.
Yeah, my man used to work for Dan Justino. He used to live in a grocery store.
And he actually said, Trump actually either tweeted, I think he tweeted this, that like, oh, look, Jeter's number's gone down ever since he moved out of the Trump Tower. That is true.
He tried to take credit for everything. But no, we've seen Marshawn Lynch, I'm just here so I don't get fined. Make him sit at the podium and make him do the Marshawn Lynch thing. Hey, the media got to step up in this situation. You have to get answers from Tom Brady. That's the way I feel about it.
And Belichick are too cool. They would never fall for this.
Okay. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Marshawn Lynch. I'm just here so I don't get fined. Does he go that route?
No, he's going to go, I'm here. I'm too worried about the Falcons.
Yeah, that's what he's going to say. Yeah.
And then people ask questions about the Falcons.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
It's cop out. They let him off the hook. They let him off the hook every time.
I just don't know what you expect.
Huh?
Well, I don't know. I just don't know what you expect him to say.
I expect Tom Brady to take a stand.
He's not going to take a stand. We saw that foolish actress take a stand at the wrong time. He's not going to do that.
She's the greatest living actress of our time. She's nominated for another Oscar this year.
She should stick to acting.
Joe Pisapia stepped in the building.
Joe Pisapia is in the building. He's hanging out.
What's the deal, Joe?
Guy hasn't been here in months. And I
never thought I'd see this.
And he walks in.
Yeah,
here.
Joe was so full of it for months.
I'm coming in. You're a Tom Brady supporter, Joe.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
I was messing with Joe
because, like, for months he would say, I'm coming into the studio. I'd say, you're full of it. And I finally got him here.
Turn the microphone on for Joe. Joe, what's going on, buddy?
What's happening, boys?
Florio.
Is my mic on here?
You're on. We hear you.
Great. Okay. Brilliant.
Oh, yo, hey, what's
First
going
on? First of all, I'm just here
First of all,
Scott,
congratulations
like
on the award, buddy.
Yes, congratulations on the award, buddy. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, gentlemen. I'm good.
What's going on? To the mic, Joe.
Oh, into the mic. That's how it works. You know, I'm new to this whole radio thing. I've never done it before.
Yes.
But no, it's great to finally see you. Let me tell you. The pictures don't do the studio justice.
There you go, right
there.
Let
me tell you something. It's very nice.
And every time we show it to somebody, and I was showing it to Mondo and I would show it to the inside injuries people, I say, you know, I've been in this industry a long time.
Oh, boy.
And,
this is where he gets emotional.
No, it's true. It's been a really long time.
This is where he gets emotional.
You can shut your microphone off.
Okay, well, you know what? Forget it then.
We're just teasing.
Hey, I'm here just to break your chops.
This is serious, all right?
Scott.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. Yeah, thank you, Tony. Yeah. One here is a man child in Corey, and the other's just like he's child age. So
there you go.
You know,
right
at least
there.
Tony gives me the respect. But I've been in this industry. Wah, wah, wah.
Come on, Scott.
Yeah. All right. I've been in this industry a long time, and I tell people this is one of the most exciting things I've been involved with. In Midtown, across from Madison Square Garden, a total broadcast studio dedicated strictly to fantasy sports.
215.
It's historic. You know, young whippersnappers like Sussman have no respect for him. He doesn't have respect for anything but kickball.
Yeah. Greg's just happy you called him young.
You know,
I'd be happy with that.
Well, he has no conception of history.
Well, Scott, you know what? When you hear that your canned speech, like, repeatedly, it kind of gets old.
But at least I get up and say something now. You know what I'm saying?
I don't talk to people.
I'm not paper thin like you.
What
you
does that mean? Are you skinny?
You're a sheep.
Wow,
you just follow everything that's popular. You're a sheep.
Everything's going well for you, Sussman.
I'm an authentic person. You're a sheep.
What does that mean?
How about you just follow everything that's popular?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I watched the SAG Awards last night. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Oh, SAG Awards don't do very good ratings.
No, they don't.
Oh, that's why you didn't watch it, because you're a sheep.
I vote for the SAG Awards.
Yeah. See, we got a SAG Award. You just insulted something he votes for. Yeah. How do you feel?
You should apologize.
I'm talking to you.
Apologize to Joe.
I'm talking to you.
I'm right here.
Apologize to Joe.
You're laughing at me because I'm coming from the heart.
I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at
you're
you.
You're laughing
the same
at me because I'm coming from the heart. But at least it comes from the heart. I'm not a paper thin sheep
Parsons
like you.
I speak from the heart every day.
Didn't Corey Parsons
have a You're a walking cliche. That's what you are. Yeah.
I'm the cliche.
You're a walking cliche.
Let the barbs be accurate.
Monday. It is Tuesday. It is Wednesday. It is Thursday. It is Friday. It is leap year. It is February.
A show opening. Why don't you give another Tony Sicana impression that nobody cares about? We'll take a break.
Why don't you do something original?
We'll take a break. We come back.
Please,
is
I got a
Mike,
question for Joe.
Is Mike Lyon
I got
comes
a question
up next?
For Joe.
Joe's not going anywhere.
Is he
gonna
play? Where am I going?
Yeah, sure, Joe can play. Is Mike Lyon coming up next? The other one, experts. Back here, Roto Experts in the morning, final half hour of the week, until the weekend edition tomorrow. Mike Blewett, George Kurtz, have you covered Saturday morning. Scott Angle, Corey Parsons, Tony Sicana, of course, Joe Pisapia hanging out.
Yeah. Joe.
Corey, you had a question for
the
Joe.
The homie Joe.
You had a question for Joe.
He's a New England Patriot fan.
I am.
Yes. Tom Brady's a fan.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
As a quarterback.
Yes.
I You're separate also my a snowflake, from my people.
Right? That's what they call him, a snowflake?
I don't know, man. When those snowflakes fall, just ask Peyton Manning how that went.
So here's the deal. Your quarterback is buddies with our president, 45. I said our president, right? So don't
Greg
do that, Joe.
Like that. He's giving you a look.
So your quarterback, mm-hmm. and he's going to be on the big stage this week. Super Bowl coming up. Media week gets kicked off. Obviously, big story. I think he should be. I think at some point he should speak about his relationship and his friendship with our president, Donald Trump.
Why? I'm just asking. I'm playing devil's advocate. Why do we care?
Because he wore a hat.
That's fine. I mean,
that's his boy.
That's fine. But like, once we start looking to our athletes for our this is the problem in this country already. You want to get on the high horse? Here's a little morning
there
Joe for you. I got a little morning Joe
Please
for you.
Please morning Joe.
No, here's the issue. The issue is this. When we start looking to other people outside of the folks who are in charge of or the political people, the people who do this for a living, looking to athletes who are no more informed necessarily than any of us, for political issues or for any of that, I don't see the point. I don't care if they ask him about it. I don't care what his personal things are.
Yeah.
I believe in this country everyone's had a right to be stupid. Exactly. Look at us. I mean, we have taken that right to a profession, right? So here's my issue. I don't respect Tom Brady for his personal views. I respect him as a quarterback. I separate those things.
I get it.
Yeah, you don't care
but
what you
still,
vote for.
On
you
the stage,
want to throw a touchdown
do you
pass.
Think
yeah.
you're in the media. And you want to ask him a question, and he's like, listen, I'm not talking about that. That's enough for you?
As a person in the media, if you can consider me that, which is very humbling. I like that you said I'm in the media. Yeah,
well,
yeah,
you
yeah.
are in the part of the liberal media.
I am. I love fake news. That's what I love. I think that what you've got here is a situation where if you're going to ask him a question about the media, that's fair. Because you're the media, you have an interaction with Tom Brady, and you can ask him on that level? Absolutely. You know, how do you feel about the fact that you support a president who, you know, is saying these things about the media, which is a huge part of what you deal with on a day-to-day basis? Do you believe this is true? Do you believe that's a fairer question?
I think
than asking
so.
Him is politics. If you want to ask him from the media slant, I think that's the only one I can
yeah,
stop.
Stuff like that. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? I don't need
Suspania.
Policy.
Yes, sir.
Suspendy, I got a problem with Pisapia already.
What else is new, Tony?
Everybody looks at me and you for political advice, and I think that should continue, Suspendia.
You want to ask? You want to ask? You is that you, we asked?
No,
the
me and you
right?
give out plenty of.
Oh, we do. You and I. Oh, yes, you and I.
Yeah,
a lot. Yes, I agree.
The whole world hangs on it.
Our roles here. Is the political
yes.
spectrum? Yes.
Yes.
Joe's taking
yes.
our job. Well, that's all right.
Yeah, Joe. We can give out advice, and we do good at it.
I agree.
Well, what's your beef? America. Come on, let's go.
He doesn't like you taking our jobs.
Oh, that's the problem. Oh, that the beef is that I'm too smart. Is that the issue? that'll be the one and only time I can
politics
tell
and intelligence.
Well, let's find out how smart you are, because it's not. Yes. It is Mike Lyon.
Oh yes,
here the real test. Sports Radio Network.
You can take my spot.
You can play too, Corey. Right. We'll just move it along.
Corey's trying to get out, man. He's ducking us.
Nice segue,
Scott, sir. You are our defending champion. What?
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Yes, I am.
Yes, he is. He won an overtime last Friday. 100%.
Yeah. Looking at me like that. For
what?
Me.
Scott, what you would just go first, second, third, or fourth today?
I will go fourth.
You will go fourth.
Yeah.
Which means
I'm going third.
No, you're going second.
Why?
Because that's how it works. Right. Joe, you're going to lead us off. Florio, hit the music. Let's do it. Here's Mike Lyon.
Over the past three seasons, no player has scored more runs than Brian Dozier.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Over the past three seasons, I'm going to say no. That's
so you're
going
to say he's lying to
you.
Yeah,
that's a lie.
All right, Corey.
I'm going to roll with Joe.
You're going rolling with Joe. Oh, yeah. You're saying he's lying. That's two for lying. Tony.
I'm getting into the psyche of Mike Florio. This is a stupid question. So this is obviously true.
True. He says true versus different answer, and it's got angle.
True.
True. Two trues, two falses. Good game. Florio, what's the answer?
I don't know how stupid of a question it was, because it is false.
Whoa!
Oh.
Mr.
He was
third.
I tried to read you. He was third in runs. Should I let them guess, or should I just say?
No, you can do it.
He had 317 behind only Josh Donaldson at 337 and Mike Trout at 342.
Oh, that's good.
It has to be
I thought it had to be Trout, right? But you threw Dozier out there, Florio, and I was trying to read you.
I knew Dozier was in the top five.
Question number two.
Over the past 2 weeks, Russell Westbrook is averaging more rebounds than assists per game.
That's a good question.
Russell Westbrook averaging more rebounds than assists.
Who is that for?
That's for you.
Oh, right. That's why I'm staring at you.
Don't criticize me.
I think you're in the wrong spot.
You're right. This is false. It's more assists. It's more assists. This is false.
Tony, you know he only had three assists last night. What do you think?
Yeah, in the next 6 weeks, this is definitely going to be true. I think it's true anyway.
Okay. Scotty? True.
Yeah.
You said what?
Said false.
I'm gonna go with Corey. I'm gonna say false.
So same team here. Tony and Scotty sticks together. Joe and Corey stick together. What's the answer, Mike?
We have a four-way tie.
Wow.
He's been averaging 10.3 rebounds in that span and just 8.9 assists.
That three assist number last night hurt it for sure.
There's no one to pass the ball to anymore with Cantor out the next 6 weeks.
Exactly.
So.
That's right.
All right. Steven Adams and that's it.
Question number three.
According to WWE. No superstar has made the final four in the Royal Rumble more than John Cena.
Ooh. Tony Cicada, you're up first.
That's a tough one.
I'm going to say false.
False. Scotty.
Thank God another wrestling fan went before me. False.
False. Joe?
I'm going to also say false because I think I know who it is. Go ahead.
Should I book the train?
It's up to you, my man.
I'm going to say true.
He says true.
Probably a smart way to go.
Corey, you shouldn't have done that. Cena has been in the final four four times. Two people have been in it five.
Two people have been in it five. So we'll go around. We'll go around. Tony will give you the first opportunity.
Triple H. No.
No. Scott. Ooh.
He was in it four times too, I believe, though.
Scott.
I'm just glad I got it right on false. I don't know nothing about this. The Miz.
The Miz.
No.
No. Joe.
Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
There's extra point for Joe Pizzapia.
Shawn Michaels.
The greatest of all time.
Corey.
Sweet chin music.
We get a wrestling question. I want a damn NASCAR question.
Oh, boy.
I don't make the questions, Scott.
It's not the only wrestling one, I'll tell you that.
Are you trying to take down my championship, Corey?
It's the Royal Rumble.
It's a big weekend.
It's the Rock. Weekend. The Rock.
No.
Mm. All right, there we go. So who's the answer?
The other one is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That was Cannibal.
I thought I was going to get a chicken.
Bruno Sammartino.
Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. So Joe is in the lead by one over the rest of the competitors.
3-2-2, and Corey has one.
To question number four.
Over the last three seasons, no player has more home runs than Edwin Encarnacion.
Scott Angle.
I'm going to say true.
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 True around the board, Florio.
False.
Oh!
He is second. One player is ahead of him.
Scotty, who is it?
Josh Donaldson.
Nope. Donaldson has 8 home runs less than Encarnacion.
Joe?
Nolan Arenado?
No.
Corey?
Nelson Cruz.
Yes.
Yay.
Corey picks up a big time point.
There you go, right there.
Cruz, 127 homers over the past 3 seasons.
That was a much needed point.
At that point, I needed that point.
Corey, Scott, and Tony have 2 points. Joe in the lead with 3 as we head to question number 5.
Over the past 2 weeks, Isaiah Thomas is leading the league in points per game.
Oh, that's a good one.
Florio's who's up, me?
Good at this. No, Joe disappears.
Oh, Joe.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say true.
True. Corey?
Isaiah Thomas, IT2. I think he's close, but I'm going to say false.
False? Tony?
I just want clarification on the question. It's the Celtics' Isaiah Thomas, right? Yes. True. I'm going to go true.
The dude that ruined the
Tony
Knicks,
goes true.
No.
Yeah.
False.
False. Would you kill for Isaiah Thomas instead of Phil Jackson right now?
Yes. You know it's crazy. I would take Isaiah Thomas over Phil Jackson. How crazy is that?
God. Wow. That's a new low.
Yeah.
All right. Michael Florio?
It is true. I'm sorry. It is false. It's false. Sorry.
How do we know he's right now?
I had it right in front of me. He's averaging 34.3 points per game in that span. Kawhi 34. Leonard.
Ooh.
36.8.
I wouldn't guess Kawhi Leonard.
That's what we need.
Oh, see, hold on. This question was erroneous. What? Read the question again.
That's a big
again.
Word, Tony.
Over the past 2 weeks, Isaiah Thomas is leading the league in points per game.
Yeah. So he is, because Kawhi Leonard didn't play as many games.
He's played 2 less games than Isaiah Thomas.
Right. Because he was injured.
But it's not total
you
points.
You didn't say... yeah, it is.
Per game. I said points per game.
Oh, come on. You said points.
Than points per game.
I'm pretty sure Russia was involved in this.
Move on, Florio.
All right, what is the scores, Florio? Please.
3. Corey, Joe, and Scott have 3 apiece. Tony has 2.
With that, we hit the break. We're halfway through. Can Scott defend his crown? Find out when we come back. Final few minutes of the program is Mike Lyon. Every Friday, we got 3 people tied at 3. Tony Cincata at 2 right now. Let's get to question number 6, Michael.
Question number 6. According to WWE, the quickest elimination in Royal Rumble history is less than 30 seconds.
Corey.
This is true.
Tony.
True.
Scotty.
True.
Joe. Oh, it's absolutely true.
Oh, it's definitely true. That was easy.
Definitely true.
That was an easy one.
Easy one.
Who was the wrestler?
It is true.
I know the answer. Santino Marella, I believe, at 2 seconds.
They have it as an official time of 1.9 seconds.
Oh, yeah. That's 2 seconds.
Here's the problem with that. Here's why I almost said false, and I'm glad you put it out because now I remember it happening. So did the guy stand in the ring by himself for 1:50 till the next guy came out?
Well, he ran in and there was already guys in the ring, and then he got thrown right over.
Oh, okay. I was thinking the quickest exit from the start of the match, yeah.
Gotcha.
That made sense.
So there you go.
Scotty had quick exits, too.
Question
I'm
number...
I'm like the Dallas Cowboys.
Question number 7 was good. That was a good one, Scotty. That was a good one. Question number 7, please.
Over the past 3 seasons, Jake Arrieta is the only qualified starter, besides Clayton Kershaw, with a whip below 1.
Corey.
The last how many? Why am I going twice? First twice in a row.
Joe went first that time.
You sure I didn't go first just now with the wrestling question?
You're right. You did. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's all right. Could you give me the question one more time, Florio?
Tony. Tony, the question is yours. I apologize.
Do you want me to read it again?
Yeah.
Over the past 3 seasons, Jake Arrieta is the only qualified starter, besides Kershaw, with a whip below 1.
That is true.
False.
I'm going to say false, too. I just don't think it's Arrieta.
Corey?
I'm going to go false.
It is true.
Tony right back in it.
Tony ties up the game. This is a good game.
This is kind of impressive for Kershaw because Arrieta's whip is 0.97. He was the only one, like I said, below 1. Kershaw's in that span is 0.83.
Wow.
Did we go to like a triple overtime last week? Like 3 people went to overtime?
Yes.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. All right, question number 8, Michael.
Over the past 2 weeks, Thaddeus Young leads the league in steals per game.
Ooh. Thad Young.
Rad Thad Young. Scotty?
False.
True.
Thad Young steals per game. This is a tough one right here. I'm going to say this is false.
When he asked the question, I said, baseball hasn't started yet. I'm going to go true.
It is true. He's averaging 3.5 steals per game in that span.
Wow.
What's the score now?
Now it has to be true because it sounded so crazy.
Tied at 5 and Corey and Scott with 4 each.
Joe and Tony at 5, Corey and Scott at 4. Question number 9.
According to WWE, it's kind of easy. No one has more Royal Rumble victories than Triple H.
Scotty?
I'm going first on this crap?
Were you at first last? You at first last time? No, Joe goes first. I'm sorry.
That is false.
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 False. Tony?
He owns the company, so this is true.
False.
It is false.
It is false.
It is false.
He has two wins.
We're not going to give you a chance to say who did. We did a wrestling bonus question already. So we're
it's
not
Stone Cold again.
Stone Cold at 3. Yeah.
You're damn right, Stone Cold.
All right. We have one more.
I can't believe I got all 3 wrestling questions correct.
We have one more question coming. Question number 10. Set the stage, Michael.
Over the past 3 seasons, besides Clayton Kershaw again, because he leads in every category.
You guys at the stage. How many points everybody has going in the final question?
Oh, sorry.
Come on.
6 for Joe. Everyone else at 5. And Joe answers first, I believe.
Joe answers first. That's correct. No, Joe just answered first. Joe answers last.
Ooh.
Don't worry. I won't go to my head. I won't let it sink in.
Joe answers last.
Yes.
Joe up 1 point on everybody. The final question coming.
Over the past 3 seasons, besides Clayton Kershaw, no one has a higher K-9 than Steven Strasburg.
No one has a higher K-9 over the last 3 seasons than Steven Strasburg. Corey Parson.
False.
False. Tony?
False.
False. Scott?
True.
Thank God someone said true, because otherwise Joe could easily just won. That would suck.
I think it's false. I think it's his teammate.
All right. So unless Scott Angle gets it right, Joe's our champion. Michael?
It is, it's false, and Joe was right. It is his teammate.
Wait! Oh, my God. He
said it already.
Wow.
I was going to go. I knew it was Max Scherzer also, so I was going to go for the tie.
Yeah, everybody knows.
No,
now.
I did know that.
And you would have had the first opportunity to
bonus. Yeah,
you
didn't
have
the opportunity to go for the
tie. You know what that's called? Winning with style.
Wow. The winner of Is Mike Lyon in his debut appearance on the show is Joe Pizzavia.
Ooh. Get him out of here.
My first and last appearance, probably, for the way Corey's looking at me.
Joe, you know, we've got you an award that we can give you for winning Is Mike Lyon.
Yes.
It's up there, though.
Yeah, I was talking to Mike, you know, this morning. I'm saying, you know, we should have prizes now for Is Mike Lyon.
You want him to pour Mike Florida to spend money on prizes for you?
Yeah.
You can go to the dollar store and get some stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
Or he could give out a Roto Experts exclusive.
Yeah, but we'll all get that. We'll all get that except for Corey.
Why not?
What?
Why you don't give it to me?
$29.95.
Yeah. Right.
Wait.
Sounds like racial profiling going on. Yeah, the only black guy has to pay.
Whoa, that's got nothing to do with it. I'm just Corey. I got black family, so don't even try.
I'm just saying. How it looks.
You're quick to point that out because you're from Boston, but, you know.
So what happened to this show?
It was a fun week. It was a fun week.
It was. Scott was out 3 days.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
There you go. That'll wrap up our week, gentlemen. What do you do this weekend, Scott?
I don't know. I haven't even thought about it.
He's going to put DFS Player Pro Bowls together this weekend.
DFS what?
Pro Bowls.
Pro Bowls. Oh, Pro Bowl that's lineups. The thing I'm not be doing.
Pro Bowl lineups. Yeah. So many videos you eat this weekend, man.
You know what? I'm going to probably take the kids to a movie, and I'm actually watching this golf tournament. I got a lot of action in this golf tournament.
Oh, yeah. I
got
to finish
weekend.
Watching the new edition.
Oh, and the Royal Rumble. Jesus.
I could not believe you forgot that.
Yeah. No, I cannot believe it either. We've got even ice cream, and we got some food we're
that's
making.
Awesome.
You know, 4 hours of the Royal Rumble we got in tonight.
I got to finish watching the new edition story with my wife.
Corey, what are you up to this weekend, bud?
I'll be chilling for the most part. You know me. You know, I'll figure it out one way or another. I'll be somewhere I probably shouldn't be. I might get into the Royal Rumble a little bit.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah, you get into the Rumble?
Yeah, and nice. I got to finish watching the new edition joint, too.
Yeah, I got one more. One third of that left to watch.
Joe, what about you?
I got to get on the new edition thing. Love me some Candy Girl. Love me some Popcorn Love. Actually, it's my dad's birthday. He's 69.
Very
that's
cool.
Cool. Nice. So taking him.
Dinner for two.
taking him out with the kids. And then Sunday, I got tickets for him and myself to go see John Cleese. Little Monty Python action
cool.
there. He's going to go out and do a little show there where they show clips and they talk and they do all this stuff. So like interactive theater thing. So it's going to be fun.
So for me, tomorrow night, I am participating in American Cancer Society, a trivia night, a massive trivia night, BYOB.
You love trivia.
I do.
You're good at that.
I do. I love trivia. So we're doing that tomorrow night, a little trivia. And then Sunday night, we got the Royal Rumble, which, Tony, do you feel like the Royal Rumble is like bigger than WrestleMania? I feel like people care more about it, like the mainstream
this
people.
Year, but I think this year it definitely is. Like, people are fired up about it, and I can't wait for it.
There you go. That is going to do it for us here on the Road Experts in the Morning. Coming up next, Fantasy Best Friends Forever, Nando DeFino, Corey Parson, and Jake Seeley. I assume Joe B. Spina is here. Why not? Stick around. We'll have a wonderful show for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your Friday. And we will see you right back here Monday morning at 7 a.m. Goodbye, everybody.